Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call. That's 603-283-6160. And I wanted to ask you, are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And sorry about that, Riley. You had something you wanted to say?
I just said I'm tired of the oppressive rules.
Yep, on social media sites.
Yep.
Well, anybody can go to our Mastodon instance, I think they call it.
Yep.
Social.freetalklive.com. So, it is Valentine's Day, and I wanted to talk about dating apps, because everybody knows that's where true love is formed.
Really?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wow. did you meet Ian on a dating app, Bonnie?
No.
Really?
That would have been
Bonnie awesome. Is a financial, I mean, not financial, I was going to say a financial advisor, no, a relationship coach.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a financial advisor.
I thought for a moment you were going to say she's a financial dominatrix.
Yeah, well, I just hold...
I cannot confirm or deny that.
I hold all my money over Ian's head. That's what we're into. I just think that totally some people have probably met on Tinder and are in love, and I don't dispute that at all.
Sure.
But I just think it's mostly a total waste of time.
Well, I think that's maybe not what Tinder's for most of the time.
Yeah, but right? There's also, like, Hinge's, like, expressly Hinge, for
yeah,
relationships.
Yeah, or Bumble. I think that's another, like, more vanilla one.
Yeah.
Like, actually trying to find relationships. And then there's, like, the ones that are kind of for, like, older people.
Yeah, like Match.com.
Yeah, yeah, like the internet, not cell phone-based ones. Yeah.
Yep, and... It's like I can't judge anyone for using them. I've gotten on them. There's been times in my life where I was just, like, bored. And especially when I lived in the middle of nowhere, it's like you don't just, like, easily run into men your age when you live in a town of 150 people in the middle of the desert. So the only problem is, like, every time I'd, like, be like, I'm going to see if there's someone out there I want to talk to on Tinder, it's like... 99% of the people weren't even somebody I would, like just by looks alone or, like, their bio or whatever, were just, like, kind of, like, the lowest common denominator type people. Like, I would always skip so many of them. And then, like, the rest of the people, they just are weird on there. I don't know. Like, Utah is, like, the middle of nowhere. Utah is a terrible place to, like, judge all of it off of.
Yeah, definitely the middle of nowhere. Utah is kind of different than a city or... anywhere else in the United States.
But then even in when I lived in San Antonio, like, no, it's just, like, not a normal place. I can't say, like, that I'm not trying to judge anyone. I just can't say that, like, the average person is going to have very good luck on these sites. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Also, the thing to remember is the dating sites are rigged in such a way that 10%, well, the top 10% of men are going to be chased by the majority of the women.
I don't know if that's really rigged, though, because it's just, like... there are so many men I was skipping, like, 100 to, like, one that I was, like, not even thinking is hot, but he was, like, they're, like, not as disgusting as the rest. I hate to say
maybe
it's not just looks, either.
Yeah, it's just, like, flooded with men, maybe. Because maybe that's
probably what it is.
Because I've heard the thing Riley's talking about, but I think it's not the, like, actual app that's doing it.
Okay.
I think that's just, like, the market.
Yeah,
exactly.
I guess that would make more sense. I mean, here Bonnie's talking about all the people she's swiping left on or whatever, skipping past, and I guess that the people who are being ignored, the algorithm is saying, oh, well, we don't want to show these people anymore because...
Hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That's probably what it is. That's probably why people have said that before. I've heard Jay Nunes talked about that on the show before, too. I just think that... Well, the other thing is, like, honestly, I kind of do have high standards, and it's not really about looks. Like, honestly, I consider myself a person who thinks about looks in men less than, like, the other girls around me. Like, I've never had, like, a celebrity male crush, really.
Yeah.
Like, I don't just go, like, oh, he's hot. It's like, there are so many more important aspects to me, like in their personality and stuff. And the thing with me is, like, any little thing would give me the ick so easily. Like, I'd be like, I don't like the brand of clothes. Ew. I don't like...
Tough like, crowd, yeah.
Yeah, like, my friend who was gay, he would watch me and be like, you're skipping so many hot guys. And it's like, okay, but he also, like, did this or that. Or he's, like, in the military or just something. Like, there's any little thing could, like...
You don't want a man in a uniform to tell you what to do?
No. Well, not that one.
Yeah.
Not that uniform.
Maybe a firefighter.
Maybe Ian should dress as a firefighter.
Oh, my God. I don't know why it's so embarrassing. But, yeah, like, I feel like there are definitely people who, it's not like I'm saying they just have low standards, but they care more about, like, looks. I don't know.
And I think, yeah, I guess everybody has their thing that they care about or the thing that attracts them, right? Like, I had so many friends who would date, like, complete losers who were like jerks to them. I'm like, this guy has no money, doesn't have, you know, like, he's completely taking advantage of you, but like, what, like, where is the appeal? And I think we just all have our type, I guess, and sometimes it's really confusing when I see like couples and I'm like, this guy sucks, like, what are you doing with this guy?
Right. I totally agree. There are definitely people I know that are in relationships that I don't understand.
They're probably like, well, he's hot. Or he's good in bed, like something that is like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like
it's like maybe not being abusive is like more important than how hot somebody is.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes hot people can be abusive or manipulative or a little weird.
And I think it goes back kind of to like the discussion we were having in the last segment about like just like when you're used to, you're like living unconsciously through patterns that you're programmed when you're a child, whether it's your parents were in an abusive relationship or just the community you're around, like everything that affected you when you're in the theta brainwave stage at like 0 to 6 years old could definitely influence who you think you deserve to be around or just who you attract or who is attracted to you. So, this is from Reuters. Reuters.com. It says, Tinder and other match dating apps encourage compulsive use, lawsuit claims.
Lawsuit?
I know. It's like, why is that suable?
Why should anyone be able to be sued for, oh, this encourages compulsive behavior? Well, no.
Yeah.
It's just exacerbating compulsive behavior.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, Riley. And I think, like, my compulsive behavior is, like, that's my problem.
Right.
Yeah. Why is that Tinder's problem?
Yeah, and it's, like, anything that people like can be used compulsively. Like, are people suing marijuana companies because that's used compulsively? Like, that's just first thing into my soda, you know.
Sugar companies.
Right.
You know, or donut shops or coffee shops or things like that. Are they being sued because people drink coffee compulsively to stay awake in the morning?
Right, and in the afternoon and for me. So let's get into it. It says... Match Group was sued. I didn't know that was a thing. Match Group was sued on Wednesday in a proposed class action claiming that its dating apps, Tinder, Hinge, and The League, I've never heard of that one, are designed to addict users, generating more profit for the company rather than help them establish relationships. I mean, I actually have, I hadn't thought about it this whole discussion, but I have one, like, best friend who is with... Just, like, the guy of her dreams that is so nice and awesome and the father of her child, and they're married now. And they met off of, I don't know exactly which one, but one of these match sites. So it's, like, wouldn't it be more of the people who use these sites' responsibility to learn how to establish relationships? It obviously happens. It's,
sure.
It's not, like, somehow hinges infringing on their ability to do that.
It's just the people who... say, oh, it's encouraging compulsivity are probably the ones who are really compulsive themselves or are struggling to find love in life. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people do use those kinds of apps for, like, just hookups. Yeah. But it's not hard to be, I mean, just be, like, forthcoming. And I think most people, like, based on what I see, most people, I would think, in, like, in the bio, like, the description of themselves, they're usually pretty honest if they're looking for a relationship or not.
Right.
So.
Right. And isn't it kind of your responsibility to talk to people and find out if it's true?
Yeah,
like,
to
anybody
them,
can
yeah.
lie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you could meet a guy at the bar and he could not be interested in, like, a serious relationship or...
But he says he is.
Or maybe yeah. he's going to the bar and compulsively hooking up with chicks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's true. Is the bar going to get sued for that?
Right. Before I met my girlfriend, Alana, I did use Tinder to try to... I didn't find any girls to really talk to, but it was interesting to try and match with people and things
you
like that.
You should sue them.
You think so?
No.
Well, I already got a girlfriend, so I'm not too worried about Tinder or...
Yeah, maybe that's what's up with these people who are suing it in the class action lawsuit. Maybe they just didn't get a girlfriend and haven't figured out how to do that.
Yeah.
So they're more upset about it than Riley. It says, the plaintiffs said Match's predatory business model defrauds those looking for love and fearful of missing out with an algorithm that rewards compulsive use of its platforms and entices them to pay hundreds of dollars a year for subscriptions.
That just seems like a good business plan.
It does. I mean,
you know what I mean?
I mean, if you're going to pay for a subscription to help you, you know, game the algorithm, why not?
Yeah, like, this just seems like I would think that any social media thing, you would want to encourage compulsive use, kind of, to get more people active on it for longer,
right? If they're too good
at
matching people, then that's when two customers gone. So,
So maybe is that the major complaint, that they're, like, purposely not being good enough?
But how could that possibly be? Like, I don't understand.
How do you prove that, right?
You meet somebody on there, you like them. How is Tinder stopping you? Like, you're allowed to immediately start texting. Like, it's not like on other apps. I don't know about, like, dating apps, but I know on, like, some, like, Neopets, for example. It's like a kid's website. So if you are like, hey, by the way, just text me on my actual phone number, they'll freeze your account.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because it's, like, supposed to be for kids. Like, they don't want you to move on.
Yeah, they don't want Neopets to be the dating website.
Okay.
But I get that, because if somebody's, like, a pedophile or something, and they're, like, poaching for children.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. And it's, like, that's not what Neopets is for. Like, Neopets is to, like, so I understand why they would have that.
And if people don't know what it is, it's, like, a child's game website that's not just for children. It's so freaking fun.
Like, like, disclaimer.
There's stuff on there that I never even understood as a kid. Like, you can, like, be in the stock market of Neopets and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, it's, like, it's not just for kids. And I always think back and I'm like, when I was literally 7 years old, were my Neo friends, like, adults pretending to be my age?
Do you pretend to be, like, 12? Or
you definitely had to be, like, 13 to play, so I guess I did.
But oh, like, does it say, like, you're under a certain age?
You have to put your birthday as something other than what you are if you're under, I think, 13. And I started playing Neopets at 7, so I'm sure I lied.
Oh, so I was thinking of the opposite. Okay, so you just have to be a certain age to play. I was thinking of the inverse. Like, if you're, like, 27, you have to be, like, I'm only 13.
No, but I was just thinking, like, because you can message people on there, and I'd be like, oh, my God, that's my favorite game, too. How are you getting such a high score? Whatever.
Oh, yeah, and you're like, because this is, like, an adult.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. What if they were adults? That's so creepy.
That's a little creepy, yeah.
But I only brought this up because I was saying, like, they wouldn't just allow you to be like, hey, by the way, start talking to me on my email. Well, Tinder does. It's not like it stops people from moving on from the chat on Tinder. You know what I mean? So how could... I feel like that alone is a defense. Like, if you meet someone on there that you like, you can start talking to them on your telephone number immediately. So how could... I just don't understand. Like, if you can't take that and form a relationship, how is it Tinder's fault? I don't understand how they can be sued over this. But we do actually have a caller on the line, Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, have you ever used a dating app on your phone?
You know what? I'm just off the market. I don't do hardly nothing on the computers, but
I see.
I hear that people are crazy about that, meeting people on the computer.
Huh. So you don't want to meet someone through a computer?
Well, I don't want to meet anybody because I'm living with Raymond. That's enough headache for me. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, I see.
She's not ready to mingle.
I just wanted to know if you ever did use one, like, and if you had any success with it.
No, I never did.
Hmm.
But you know what's funny? My sister met her husband on the computer, and then they hit it off, and they're still together. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Do you know if it was, like, Match.com or something else?
I don't know what website they were looking, like, singles website. I don't know. I don't even know what if they have to pay or anything, and then they, like, what each other had to say. I don't know what app, what site they were on, but I'm just kind of bewildered, and they got married, and they're still together, and they're really happy.
That's great. Like I said,
I
didn't want to make it sound like it's not possible or anything like that. I just think, because I don't know if you were listening, Sarah, but there is a class action lawsuit, and those dating apps, like the ones that you use on your phone to meet people, they're getting sued because those people just don't end up finding love as often, I guess, and they're trying to say it's Tinder's fault. I just think it's ridiculous.
Well, is it one of those match, like the people that match you with your personality? There's a website that are they actually figure like with your political view, your education level. I don't know if it's one of those. I don't know, but
no, Tinder's not one of those websites.
Yeah, Tinder doesn't do that. I'm not sure about Hinge or The League. I don't know if they do that, but I know that's like more of a Match.com thing.
Yeah, or eHarmony or something like that.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, eHarmony is stuff like they actually met you by your personality type, like how often you want to be with somebody, whether you're a possessive person, or you like a lot of time to yourself, whether you want children, you don't want kids, you don't want to be matched up like that. So, yeah, those are like eHarmony.
I wonder if those are getting better with AI. Oh, that's an interesting thought. Well, Sarah, is that what, did you have something you actually wanted to call in about?
Yes, I want to. They mentioned that we have the West Side Murders. They, you know, they recover like 18 women's body and then one of the women was pregnant, and they dug up 18 bodies. But they're also saying that there's eight more victims that could be tied to this murder.
Hmm.
And then it's kind of, I mean, so I guess they have some clues that there's other eight women missing that somehow is kind of similarly tied to it. I don't know how they.
Is this in New Mexico, you said?
Yeah, in New Mexico.
Hmm.
Yeah, on the west side. Yeah, they dug up the, somebody found a bone, and it happened to be a women's bone. And, you know, I'm beginning to think that it could be, it could be not just one person doing it. It could have been like a bunch of guys doing it, like in like a party or something.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know,
it can be terrible.
A lot of times they will connect crimes before it's completely solved just by like similar practices. Like, oh, this guy used a unique type of knife, and mm-hmm. we also noticed the same marks on these bodies that were found, or I don't know, like that. Maybe the other bodies weren't found, so. I don't know. They can match it based on like similar behaviors, where the person type of person that went missing, blah blah blah. So I don't know. That's pretty interesting.
It is pretty interesting. And remember Ted Bundy? He always bit his victims, and then they did his bite. And all the people that he killed, he bit them. So it was they made him do like a bite mark thing. And it was exactly the bite. So that was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
What he did. I know. I mean, he left his mark on everyone so they could track that he's the one that did it behind it. So I don't know what. So, but the eight other ones are kind of related, but they have to dig up the ground pretty much. I mean, I don't think it's like a one person job kind of a thing.
Was it at a house where this body was found, or like where?
It was a way on the west side, kind of like out of town, where they're building the new developments or something, where people were walking around, but it's still not, nothing's built on it. It's still a lot of land out.
Hmm.
So somebody was walking, and then they found a phone, And then it happened to be one of the women's phone, and they wind up digging around there, and they dug up 13 bodies. And a lot of these women were missing. Yeah.
That's terrible. Yeah, there. It kind of creeps me out a little bit, like the desert, like how easy it is to just, like, go missing and or just, like, get disposed of out there. Like, when I lived in Utah, maybe, Riley, maybe you've heard of this. There, actually, I just remember that the boy's name was Riley. So when I lived in Utah, there was this huge thing happening because the town nearest to where I lived was called Tooele. And these two teenagers named Riley and Breezy, the girl was Breezy, but that wasn't, like, her real name. It was her nickname.
Uh-huh.
They went missing, and I even thought about, like, joining the search group because it was, like, ongoing for so long, and they were searching, like, the desert near my house and stuff, so I just never was able to get to do it because eventually they found out that they were thrown into a old mine shaft that was, like, hundreds of feet under the ground. And the thing was, like, they just slit their throat once and then threw them down there.
Yeah,
so they're probably still, like, conscious.
Yeah, it's just can, like, why?
Yeah, that can happen. It's really sad. It's, you have to have a really cold heart to want to kill somebody.
Right, and these were, like, two teenagers, and it was so disgusting because it was, like, this meth head guy. Basically, these two teenagers were, like, kind of, like, dumb. And I'm not saying they were dumb, sorry. That's so mean. I was just saying that they were kind of, like, not acting
naive, maybe?
Yeah, maybe naive. Not doing the very smart things because they wanted to smoke weed. They wanted to get high, so they went and hung out with this trashy lady.
Yeah.
And then her boyfriend came home. They were, like, in this trailer, and he was, like, I told you you weren't allowed to talk to this Riley guy because you're my woman. Even though he's like a teenager that was in a relationship and wasn't trying to get with this lady. And he taped them up and took them on a ride in his Jeep where they're in the back. And then, like, took them out to this, like, it was kind of a famous mine. Like, it was a mine that everybody in Eureka, Utah is like, oh, let's go play around it when you're a teenager or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
He took him out there, and he one by one, like, first did the boy, like, slit his throat and threw him into the mine shaft, and then did the girl.
Yeah, that's really sad. That's really horrible.
That was, like, so scary that I just, like, lost sleep over that. I was so bad. It was, like, very near where I lived.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? That when I was visiting Manhattan, I was around, and then they told me that when I was in the area, they told me that there was a small, like, a small-town girl that came to visit New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody talked them into going to an alley, and they just murdered her. That was the end of it.
Wow.
Yeah, or her, because she wasn't born in the city. She was from a small town, and then she trusted whoever said, come on, I'm going to, you know, walk with me over here, and then she was done.
That's terrible. Thank you so much for the call, Sarah. 603-283-6160. You can call in on the last segment of Free Talk Live for tonight. Coming
also,
up.
We have a lighter note.
Yeah, sorry about that. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live, and you can change the subject anytime you want to.
February is Heart Month, and every year, Extendivite has a sale. This year is no different. Extendivite is regularly $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply. In February, Extendivite is only $57.50 for a 2-month supply plus shipping and handling. Extendivite is a combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. These ingredients work synergistically to improve your overall health. So don't delay. Join the Extendivite family today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
USA News Update. The House Intelligence Committee has raised concerns about a significant national security risk reportedly linked to advancing Russian space technology. Ohio Republican Mike Turner said his committee has shared details about the threat with fellow members of Congress. He's urging President Biden to declassify the information to facilitate open discussions among Congress and allies regarding necessary response measures. Once again, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is back out of a hospital. The Pentagon says Austin is in good condition following his admission to Walter Reed National Military Hospital Sunday for a bladder issue. Austin has taken back his duties now from Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks. The Northeast cleaning up after a nor'easter hit the region with heavy snow on Tuesday. At least one person in Pennsylvania was killed when his snowmobile hit a downed wire. Travel was snarled along the 95 corridor. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number you can call. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And you can bring up whatever is on your mind, but in the last segment, we were talking about this, what's it called, dating site that you can go to, but on your phone, so app.
Mm-hmm.
Tinder and other match dating apps are being sued by a class action lawsuit claiming that it's designed to addict users, generating more profit for the company. And we have just already said that we think it's ridiculous. People just have no self-responsibility. They have no sense of that anymore.
Right, and they have no sense of self-control, how to regulate their behavior. They just want to blame somebody else rather than take responsibility for their behavior.
So who is suing?
That's what I wanted to know, too. Oh, it's right here. It's the next thing. Okay. It says Match employees. So Match is the parent company that owns Tinder.
Hinge. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that until now either.
That kind of makes sense to like rebrand a little bit for like the younger crowds.
Mm-hmm.
It says that Match employs features to gamify the platforms to transform users into gamblers locked in a search for psychological rewards that Match makes elusive on purpose. Oh, my goodness. That's what they're alleging, at least. It says the six plaintiffs who live in California, Florida, Georgia, and New York called this inconsistent with Match's ad slogan that its apps are designed to be deleted.
Ads are designed to puff things up and sell you an idea. That's what they're there for. It's puffery. It's not there to tell you a truth. It's there to sell you an idea. That's what they're there for.
But if they claim one thing and do another, I guess that's where this lawsuit is coming from. But honestly, yeah. Designed to be deleted, you can't really... I don't understand how you could legally argue that it's not. Like, it's it matches you with a person. It's like, it's your job from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's a certain level of, like, self-responsibility that comes in once, like, the relationship part... You know what I mean? Like, if someone's insufferable, they can't blame Match.com. You know what I mean?
I'm insufferable. No one wants to date me. It's
Yeah, it's like, once these people meet me in person, they never want to go on a second date. This must be...
Tinder's fault.
Yeah, this is Tinder's fault. Like, no, you're just... I mean, whatever. Whatever the reason, but...
The response from the company, they said, this lawsuit is ridiculous and has zero merit. Our business model is not based on advertising or engaging metrics. We actively strive to get people on dates every day and off our apps. Anyone who states anything else doesn't understand the purpose and mission of our entire industry. Well, there you have it. I just wanted to give their side. Basically, I think it's just so ridiculous. It's only six people. I didn't know six people can do a class action lawsuit.
Apparently they can.
And it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought class action usually, like, at least... I didn't know if there was a minimum, but you're right. Usually it's, like, hundreds, thousands, you know.
That's what I was thinking when I read that. I guess
maybe it's just more than one.
Yeah, I didn't really think about if there's a minimum either, but my thought when I read class action was the same thing. Like, hundreds of people are up in arms about this.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound like hundreds of people right now, but it could be. You never know.
Oh, that's the thing. Like, with a class action lawsuit, right, I guess it usually starts with a few people, mm-hmm. and then if anyone else agrees, they can kind of jump in on it.
That they were a victim of Tinder as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically all I have to say about that. It's just kind of a silly, ridiculous thing, and I thought it was a thing we could bring up for Valentine's Day. But, Nikki, you have a story about a judge who is... resigning?
Yep, so this is a story from the AP. An Oklahoma judge who sent more than 500 text messages during a murder trial resigns. You'd think a murder trial, that sounds pretty important, that maybe he would, he or she would want to pay attention.
More, the judge would hopefully pay more attention to a murder trial.
In Ian's case, we kept talking about how the judge looked like he was falling asleep.
Yeah.
He was literally closing his eyes.
Yeah.
And, like, leaning his head back. So weird.
So Oklahoma City, an Oklahoma judge agreed to step down Friday after she was caught sending hundreds of texts from the bench while overseeing a murder trial in the killing of a two-year-old boy, including messages that mocked prosecutors and were sprinkled with emojis.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know if it was going to... expose what the texts were.
I wonder how they found out.
Yeah, I wonder, like, were they noticing that she was doing something on her phone and somebody got a, like, FOIA request? Because during one of our, I don't know, this person lives in New Hampshire named Footloose, one of his trials that Ian and I attended, there were multiple cops there that weren't supposed to be communicating because they were all, what is the word? They were all testifying. Witnesses.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not supposed to, like, be talking in the hallway and then all go testify so you have the story straight or something.
Yeah.
And he was pointing out that one of them was, like, on their phone texting, and then another one picked up their phone, something like that, and he was like, I want to see what they're texting, and the judge just kept being like, move along, Mr. Footloose, or whatever his last name is.
Yeah.
Move along. It's like, I mean, he has a good point. Like,
they're
supposed to be sequestered. Isn't that like...
And it's like no one else in the courtroom can have a cell phone?
Well, in New Hampshire, but not in federal.
Yeah, in state court you can, federal court. Yeah.
Really?
The feds take your phone. They take your wallet.
I think in most district courts, too, they don't. I think it's, like, court by court.
Because in Massachusetts, you can have your phone.
Okay.
All of them.
Because, in Massachusetts, some you can and some you can't.
Yeah, I've heard that, too, from...
I don't think it's a state law, either. I think they will put a piece of paper up and be like, put your phone in your car.
Technically, the judge, even in New Hampshire, can just say, I'm not allowing phones, but I think that in New Hampshire, people have just, like, pushed back so much that they don't try to do stuff like that. Anytime I push back at all on something stupid they're trying to enforce on me in a court in New Hampshire, they usually fold.
Yeah, it's probably not worth it for them.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to this story, District Judge Tracy Soderstrom also agreed to not seek judicial office again in Oklahoma under a proposed settlement agreement filed with the Oklahoma Court on the Judiciary. She had faced removal from the bench over accusations that included gross neglect of duty, oppression in office, lack of proper temperament, and failure to supervise her office.
Wow.
I wonder if that's all in regards to the text message thing, or if this is, like, part of a bigger case.
Yeah, like, we're doing this all the time.
And the text message thing was just, like, their clickbait title, maybe.
Hmm.
I guess we'll find out.
I promise to uphold the... So this is a quote from Tracy. I promise to uphold the Constitution in a fair, even-handed, and efficient manner, Soderstrom said in resignation letter given to local media. I believe that I have done so. However, being human, I have also faltered. Oklahoma Supreme Court Chief Justice John Kane recommended Soderstrom be removed following an investigation that found she mocked prosecutors, laughed at the bailiff's comment about a prosecutor's genitals.
What?
I'm wondering...
What kind of courthouse is this?
Yeah, was that part of the trial, or was this just in a private conversation?
Oh, yeah, maybe the bailiff texted her about
the
prosecutor's genitals.
Yeah, because I'm like, that'd be weird if they just said that in court.
Yeah,
that would be a little weird, yeah.
So she also praised the defense attorney and called the prosecutor's key witness a liar during the murder trial of Christian Tyler Martzall.
I mean, like, it could be true, the case, but it's like you're supposed to be the...
feels biased, right?
You're supposed to be, like, the voice of reason.
And I feel like it's worse that it's a murder trial for a two-year-old. It's like, in Ian's case, I would like to think that the judge was maybe, like, texting, making fun of the prosecution.
Yeah.
Because I definitely would have been, but...
he definitely wasn't. He sucked.
Yeah, but in a murder trial for, like, a baby, you're like, ooh, that's kind of weird that, you know, I don't know, whatever. And like you kind of said, it could have been warranted, like, she could be right. But still kind of, you know, like, pay attention, you know, like, you're at work. Security video published by the Oklahoman showed Soderstrom texting or messaging for minutes at a time during jury selection, opening statements, and testimony during the trial in Chandler, about 45 minutes outside of Oklahoma City. Soderstrom, who took office last year, voluntarily suspended herself in October. The judge's text during Martzall's trial on a charge of killing his girlfriend's two-year-old son, including saying the prosecutor was sweating through his coat, according to Kane's petition. The text describes the defense attorney as awesome and asked, "Can I clap for her?" during the defense attorney's opening arguments.
She obviously already had her mind made up.
Absolutely.
It sure sounds like it.
Yeah, which, in a murder trial, I mean, like, that's pretty serious. Like, you need... like,
was she there?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you need to be, like, paying attention to what's going on here. I mean, like,
and
that's
the
ridiculous
thing, too, is that we also hope that a so-called judge has some objectivity in the whole case rather than...
Yeah, you'd hope.
Biases, yeah.
Right? So she asked, she called the defense attorney awesome, asked if she could clap for her during the defense attorney's opening arguments. In all, Soderstrom sent more than 500 texts to her bailiff. So these were all going to the bailiff, who was also present. So it wasn't, you know, she was texting someone who was in the room.
Hmm. Was the bailiff also texting?
If there was 500 text messages, I'm assuming so.
That'd be so weird because if you're in that room watching and, like, clearly she's, like, texting for minutes at a time and then, like, the bailiff is, like, smiling and replying.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it become obvious?
Yeah. A little weird.
I mean, I've done something similar, not really at work, but like, texted somebody that was in the same room in a situation where we were supposed to be quiet. Not 500 is a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot to go back and forth. And
every time I've ever had to do that where it's like you have to be like, you know, like, don't make it obvious, but I'm going to text. And hopefully the person I'm talking about who's in the room won't notice. Anytime you do that, it's, like, real risky.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like, don't get caught. But this lady feels like, doesn't care.
Like passing a note in class, right? You know, like, that's, this is, like, the modern-day version of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Soderstrom also texted a laughing emoji icon to the bailiff who had made a crass and demeaning reference to the prosecuting attorney's genitals, Kane wrote.
Huh.
Martzall was eventually convicted of second-degree manslaughter and was sentenced to time served. So apparently, even though she thought that the defense attorney was so awesome, apparently the jury wasn't sold.
So, but he was sentenced to time served for the murder of a two-year-old? So, like, how much time did he serve? Because, like, that's a pretty freaking big deal. So maybe apparently she was biased. She was the one that gave the sentence, right?
Yeah, I would assume so, yeah.
Maybe she was just like, time served.
So the jury was like, this guy's a murderer, and she was like, time served is probably sufficient. That's crazy.
I wonder if the result is getting overturned considering all of this happening.
Maybe. But that would be crazy to, like, if somebody was found innocent to, like, he wasn't found innocent, but to, like, revoke his sentence and then instill a harsher one.
Hmm.
I mean, if I was, I would be really, really upset if this was the result of, like, if this was a case about my kid, and this came out that the judge was texting and being inappropriate, I mean, to even, like, laugh about anything during a murder trial of a two-year-old is, like, pretty sickening.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's it. I wish there was more about... So I guess they did. I was going to say I wish there was more about how they found out she was texting, but I guess it was caught on camera. Someone must have looked at the cameras, made a fuss about it, and then they must have gotten access to her phone somehow.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, in her paperwork, signing up to be a judge and all of, like, their oaths and stuff, that must be, like, they must be allowed, like, she would have to...
Give it over.
Provide her phone. Yeah, because...
Interesting.
I think in most circumstances you wouldn't have to do that, but...
But she's a judge, so yeah, maybe she's, like, already agreed to let that happen. Well, we have a caller on the line. David in New Mexico. David, what's on your mind?
Lots of stuff, Bonnie. It's crazy and weird.
Like what?
Like lots of stuff. I just told you. It's crazy and weird.
What things?
Yeah. Oh, well, now I forgot. Let's see. Oh, it was you're talking about the internet psychology stuff. But first of all, I got to pick on Nikki. So you were what's this male bashing you were doing, Nikki?
I don't think I was. Why? When?
Because you were talking about the dudes going to the bar to compulsively pick up chicks or something like that.
How's that male bashing?
Yeah, it was just my example.
It was an example.
I could male bash better if you want.
Yeah, do it. Bring it. Come on.
Oh, I don't know. Not. Now you're putting me on the spot.
They're all soy.
Making me all nervous.
Boys.
Yeah.
They're all what?
Soy boys.
Soy boys, yes, they are.
Just kidding.
But if a dude goes to a bar to pick up a chick because he wants to pick up a chick, doesn't there have to be a willing chick in there to be picked up?
Yeah, and I think it could actually go both ways. So I want, for equality purposes, women can also go to bars and compulsively pick up men. So it does go
both
ways.
Hear that, ladies?
Yeah.
Hear that, ladies?
Yep. I'll allow it.
More of that, ladies. And let's see. So the psychology aspect of what you're talking about the internet, that lawsuit of whatever it was, Match or whatever it was, doesn't matter. Actually, I think that's a broader issue. I think they're getting sued for something that the whole internet is doing even worse than what Match is doing. And here's two four instances. See if you guys have noticed this. Like, take all of your tier one apps, you know, whether Instagram or Instagram and YouTube are good examples. Like, you're looking at something, for whatever reason, you opened up the app and you're looking at whatever on YouTube or Instagram. And then, you went there to look, you know, for a reason. But you're bombarded, in a million different ways. Most people don't even recognize what they are. They slide things in front of you that you weren't looking for and you don't really want to spend your time looking at. But it's like, you know, it's like cocaine or candy or whatever in front of you. And what you were saying is, yeah, that's a good selling technique. I won't say it's a good business technique, but it's a good sales technique. However, so is subliminal advertising, like, for instance, on television. Do you agree that, in a movie or in a television, they should be able to slide in one frame out of every 24 or 30 frames that says, kill yourself, for instance?
Yeah.
I mean,
you think that's okay?
I don't think it's okay as in morally. I think they should be allowed to do it, and people should choose more wisely what they let their kids watch and what they consume themselves.
Wait a minute. The example I gave, you don't know it's there. Your subconscious may pick it up, but your conscious doesn't even know it's there.
Well, listen, that's not even enough to actually program you. Like, I know that that's not, because
You were part of MK Ultra.
Research.
Is this a confession, Bonnie?
People have research. Yeah, actually, I am. I'm a Fed sent to destroy Free Talk Live, but
that's
I don't even know about it.
That's what you were doing in Tooele, wasn't it, Bonnie?
No, on the top secret military base, actually. That's where they programmed.
See, I finally got it. I finally got it out of her. I've suspected it for years.
Oh my gosh.
David? How many years have you suspected this?
Seven and a half.
What the heck? Before I moved here? Well, the thing about it, David, that I'd have to argue is that it's a lot harder to program your subconscious than that. And people do research on this, and I'm actually really fascinated with the topic. One of the books I'm listening to right now is called The Honeymoon Effect by Bruce Lipton. And he talks about,
Urinary tract infection, right? Urinary tract infection, the honeymoon effect?
No. I've never heard that. No. Oh, I
Hopefully
see what you're
not.
Saying.
Nikki has. Ask Nikki.
Has what? A honeymoon?
Huh?
Has been on a honeymoon?
The honeymoon effect. Yeah, a UTI. The honeymoon effect.
I've never heard of that, but...
I've never heard it called that either. I usually hear it called, your husband comes back from Iraq thing.
What about Iraq?
Like, if your husband comes back from Iraq, it's always a joke, like, that the wife's going to get a UTI, which is really gross. That's the only time I've ever heard that.
If the husband comes back from whose Iraq?
Oh, sorry, Iraq or Afghanistan? Maybe you're joking. I don't know.
I'm joking, yes.
I figured that out mid-talking. But, so, basically, people study this. They talk about how when you're a kid, like, you can't help it, you get programmed to certain behaviors, and if you want to retrain yourself, you can't just say, with your conscious mind, you know what, I want to change this behavior in myself. You got to get deep into your subconscious mind, and it takes work, and it's a lot different than just memorizing something with your conscious mind. So I just don't think a one-screen kill-yourself thing is going to actually make people kill themselves.
Well, we didn't say one frame out of 30 one time in your life. We're talking about, let's say you watch a particular television program once a week, every week for several years. And throughout the entirety of that hour or half hour program, once every second, that's imperceptibly, a message is imperceptibly flashed to your subconscious.
I don't think that it's possible for them to do it so imperceptibly that, like, Googling about this wouldn't, like, pop up. Like, people would be, like, freaking out if one of the more popular Netflix series or something had one frame that said kill yourself, because they find everything in these things, like Easter eggs and all that.
Let's go back a second. I introduced it as a hypothetical just to see if you agreed with the concept or not, whether it's right or wrong to do that. It wasn't a science question as to whether you can do it or not. It was an ethics, morals question as to whether you should do it or it should be allowed if it was effective.
Okay, so should as in, do I think it's a good thing to do to put a subliminal message that says kill yourself? No, but if you want to put a subliminal message that says, like, buy my product, that's totally moral. And the other thing about it is I don't think it's moral to disallow people from being able to put whatever they want into their art, including kill yourself.
What if your product is cyanide-flavored iced tea?
So it's the same thing as asking me if it's okay to put kill yourself, honestly. I think it's like the same question.
Right. And I'm trying to ask questions or whatever, present so that we get to
I already stripped it down. Like, you're actually just asking the same thing over and over again. Like, I already stripped it down. Like, yes, it would be not a good thing to do.
It would be unethical to do.
But it shouldn't be made illegal because two wrongs don't make a right. People need to be just aware that what they're watching and what's contained in it, they just need to be aware of that. Like, and if you don't care,
but the point is they're not aware. If you're doing it, you're slipping it by somebody. You're getting a benefit from doing something that somebody else is not aware of, and it's damaging that person. How about that analogy?
But you don't understand the internet. Like, you would be found out.
I don't understand.
If you're,
what don't I understand about the internet, Bonnie?
Are you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Well, then, if you have any kind of fandom that you are interested in, like, start looking them up on Twitter. I can't believe the things that people figure out, pick up on, and know about Lana Del Rey, because the algorithm has just been, like, pushing me nothing but Lana Del Rey recently, and I thought I was a mega fan. There are people that know every single detail about her entire life. Like, people don't miss out on this stuff. Nobody would even have a one screen message in a video.
Or one frame.
One frame, yeah, sorry, I meant to say. Message in a video that didn't get picked up on with the internet. Like, now instead of just Twitter, like 4chan and Discord and all that other stuff. Like, I think that it's up to the people to realize what their entertainment is coming from and consume wisely. That's all.
Right, but that's still in conflict with the scenario that I presented.
No, it's not, because I just told you it's not going to be hard to find. You're just trying to make a situation.
Yes, it is, Bon, because I just told you.
Okay, well, have a good night, David, because you're not making any sense. Like, it's just not possible that the internet wouldn't find out if there was a screen that said kill yourself on a video.
Yeah,
everybody would be talking about it.
Today's internet world, they're going to find stuff. They're going to find anything anywhere very easily there.
I don't really understand the need to, like, make there be some kind of situation where it's really not the customer's fault. It's the big bad guy wants to hurt them. It's like, that's not happening out there. Just, like, be more, you know, I'm not saying this is really David's problem, but a lot of people need to be more self-responsible for their actions and what they're consuming, and not just blame everything on the big bad rich people.
Uh-huh.
It's Free Talk Live. You can find more at freetalklive.com. Thanks for listening.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.